Okay, saints, shall we start? If you can hear me, then I will start. raise your hands, please, again, if you can hear. Good, thanks. Okay, I see the number dropping everywhere. I mean, those who are in the meeting. It's okay. I think, I hope the saints are not getting tired of me. But anyway, this word will be recorded, and those who have interest can watch or listen to it later. Today I'd like to say something particular. However, I would say something all too relevant for all of us. And that is, I want to touch this matter of anxiety. Anxiety. It is a subject that is broached, more than broached. It is a matter that is repeatedly covered, both in the Lord's own speaking and also in the apostles' writings. And although it is not a matter that rises to the level of a high truth or God's economy or anything like that, but experience tells us that this is a huge, huge matter. And if we can say so, this is a huge problem. I think Witness Lee once said, as he was teaching about this matter in the life studies of Philippians, you know, in chapter 4, where this matter of anxiety is touched, he said the anxiety is the sum total of the human life. I think he's also said something like this, that anxiety is what drives humanity or the world, both of which are true statements. And today, not only the worldly people are filled with anxiety, full of anxiety for so many things or about so many things, but Christians, the Lord's children, the kingdom people, likewise. And we who are in the Lord's recovery are not immune. We're no different. So we may have Christ in us, God, the God of peace in us. We are in the church life, a wonderful place. We can even have, you know, we have the Lord's Word. We have the Spirit, and talking about the Lord's Word and the Spirit, I do not know if some of you listened to the meetings yesterday in Berkeley, given in Chinese, on the matter of praying the Word. If you have, that's wonderful. If you have not, it may be good for you to get into that. And I think all those four outlines are freely available to all of us. We have all these provisions from God for our life on the earth, for our Christian existence. But the fact of the matter is, even with us, we find ourselves all too often filled with anxiety, just living from one anxious moment to the next. Now you say, well, if this is such a common occurrence or common problem in humanity and with Christians, then what's the big deal? We just live with it. Well, in a way, we have to live with it because we all have that. But we all know what anxiety does to us. And particularly in light of the Word of God, I say again, the Lord's Word and the Apostles' teaching regarding the matter, you'll find that this matter of anxiety is a great, great problem, hindrance and frustration to us. It affects our seeking of the kingdom. We'll see, right, in Matthew 6 and Luke 12, you know, the sister passage. And in Matthew 18, you know the parable, right, about the kingdom seed and the four kinds of earth. It affects our growth in life. The growth of that divine seed, which is Christ within us, it has direct implication. It blocks the growth in life. But then you go on, you know, to the epistles. You know, you have the Paul's word again in Philippians 4. You have again in Hebrews chapter 13, I believe the beginning of chapter 13. And you have, even though this particular word is not used, but it is touched, for example, in Timothy's, especially 1 Timothy, in chapter 6. And there, the opposite, or the antonym of anxiety was mentioned quite strongly. And that is this word, contentment. Contentment versus anxiety. And finally, you have Peter's word in his first epistle, chapter 5. He talked about anxiety. Don't be anxious, but casting all your cares on Him, on the Lord. And, of course, in that particular situation, it was speaking to the believing Jews who were under some kind of persecution and suffering. And he was speaking to them. Now, brothers and sisters, I'm not here, you know, to study the matter of anxiety. You know, today they have this thing called anxiety disorder, right? They have even a more acute form of that called panic disorder, and all that, and it has become an official psychological condition, and they have therapies, they have medication, all that kind of stuff. And of course today this is a big deal because the whole world is full of it. Ranging from what people anxious over their health, you know, over their diet, over their exercise, over their organs and well-being. They're anxious over their family, their marriage, their children. They're anxious over their job, their livelihood, their future, their career. They're anxious over the society as a whole, with all these crazy things going on all around. They're anxious over all the natural disasters. You know, we, all of us, are sitting right on top of the San Andreas Fault. It has been predicted for a long, long time that it's a matter of time when the big one will hit. So when there's a few tremors, it immediately sends jitters to everybody. Yeah, I'm talking about California. Then there's anxiety over the world situation. You know, this madman in North Korea, in Iran, these nuclear bombs, and many other things. The Middle East situation. I tell you today, with us who are in this 24/7 news cycle, and with our little device constantly bombarding us with all manners of things that I just listed, no wonder everyone is living in an anxious state all the time. Well, again, I say, you ask the question, well, if this is it, then we just have to live with it. But I said already, brothers and sisters, this anxiety is the biggest frustration to our Christian life, to our Christian growth, to our church life, to our kingdom life, to our living Christ, to our serving Him, to our whole divine human existence. And I'm speaking to working saints, in particular, those who are entering the job market, those who are beginning to get, finding mates who get married, which cause a lot of anxiety, beginning to raise children, more anxieties, and the rising cost of living, the time demand on us, the pull between that and the church life. I think some saints are not in this meeting because they're afraid that I'm going to tell them to get ready for GTCA or something. So they'd rather not come and hear that, because that will add to the anxiety. We already are full of demands and problems and needs, and here the church is going to do what? What GTCA and pass our Bibles and preach the gospel. You are just adding to my anxiety list. And so, brothers and sisters, and that is why I have some burden to make a turn, not to talk about that, but to address this matter, because it is a very serious matter, and it's a great, great enemy, a great, great problem that frustrates us. Needless to say, I'm not here to have a Some people call it a calm clinic, you know, a clinic to make you calm. I'm not here to help you to do meditation or yoga, right? I'm not here to tell you to breathe 3 times of deep breath. I'm here, again, coming back to the Lord's own word. There's a wonderful little verse, and I couldn't find where it is. You can go back and look for it in Proverbs. It says something like this. It says, anxiety, this is in the Old Testament, anxiety weighs down the heart. But a good word will bring it joy. So, the heart, our heart, which is, or our soul, is really mainly where the problem is, where the anxiety is, not our spirit, but our heart. And it is way down. So when anxiety hits, when anxiety occupies the heart is way down with no more strength and no more capacity or ability to do other things. It is just burdened and way down, loaded with all manners of anxiety. Unless those things, those anxieties, we're relieved of them, or they are put away, or they disappear. Our heart has no capacity. Earlier in one of my fellowship, I talked much about redeeming the time, right? I said, we have only so much time, all of us. And if you use your time for this, you have no time for that. It's a fight. It's a battle. You have to do something to find the time to do something. And even the church life, the Lord's, the divine things, all these things that we have given ourselves to, the same. If your time is spent on something else, you have no time for this. Well, the heart is the same. You know, yesterday I did not spend time on one message. I believe that should be the last message, maybe four or three, or maybe four, that talks about the right person that can really receive the blessing from the Word. There's a whole Roman numeral talking about the heart, the condition of the heart, meaning the Word is rich, the Word is there, filled with blessing to us, the Word of God. But if your heart is veiled, if your heart is distracted, if your heart is divided, then you cannot come to the Word in a wholehearted way and receive all of its goodness and blessing. So anxiety is a matter of the heart. Your heart, brothers and sisters, is your heart filled with anxiety, or is your heart not filled with them and filled with something else? You say, what's something else? Well, Paul's word is contentment. You know, he said, godliness and contentment is great gain. You know, that word contentment, if you read the footnote, it's actually a Stoic word, a word that the Stoics would use. Stoics are those people who just harden themselves and grit their teeth to face tragedy, to face unpleasant things, to they're Stoic, you know that word. Paul actually would quote the Stoic saying, how about that? Godliness and contentment. He didn't just say contentment, he said godliness and contentment. godliness, no doubt, is a life that is expressing God, a life that is living Christ. And contentment. And contentment deals with the problem of anxiety. That in a time of need, in a time of an unnerved situation, in a time of scarcity, in a time of privation, even of material lack, Paul learned how to be content. And he did use this word learn. He learned how to be a divine stoic, you know, to overcome the anxiety. Live in contentment or satisfaction. Or you may use the word self-sufficiency. This is a great thing. Let me say one more thing here. And that is, interestingly and consistently, with the Lord's teaching and the apostles' teaching, when they touched the matter of anxiety, they also touched the matter of covetousness or the seeking of riches or the deceitfulness of riches. For example, back to Matthew 13, you know, the seed that is sown in the rocky ground. It was the seed cannot grow because of the rocks, right? And those rocks, it's not the rocks. I'm sorry, it's the what do you call it? Matthew 13, right? Sorry. You have the thorns, right? Those thorns are called the anxiety of the age and the deceitfulness of riches that eventually choked the word so that it becomes unfruitful, referring to choking the divine life within us so that it cannot grow nor bear fruit. So that's the Lord's word. And the same thing in Matthew 6 when you talk about not being anxious, you know, and eventually he would end that section about not being anxious and living a life of faith, trusting the Lord. It is in the context, or right before that passage, he was dealing with this matter of material riches, you know, about mammon. And for sure, this is the case in this, in the book of Luke. Now, I hope you're not bothered by me always going back to the Bible, because that is our standard. That is how we deal with these things. He talked about putting our treasures in heaven, about giving alms, about putting our treasure in the heavens, etc. So there in Paul's word in Timothy chapter 6, where he talked about contentment, right after that, he gave some strong warning to the through Timothy to those who are rich. He said, "Speak to the rich people, the wealthy people, so that they will not trust in the unreliable wealth and money, but rather to be hospitable, to distribute to put their treasure in the heavens." So these two things, actually anxiety on the one side and the seeking or covetousness or the seeking of riches on the other side, you may say is the two sides of one coin. Anxiety is to be anxious over what you need. Whereas covetousness is the desire for what you don't need. Do you see what I'm saying? Anxiety is over your legitimate needs, material needs, and other needs. Whereas the deceitful rich of riches, one falls into that deceitfulness because one is looking for more than what they need. They actually don't need it. They covet that. And so they fall in that deceitfulness. And that deceitfulness causes them to have even more anxiety. So these two things are circular, and these two things are two sides of the same coin. And I think you will agree with me, brothers and sisters, this is the age we're in. The word is the anxiety of life, that is the soul life, the word is soul life, and also the anxiety of this age. The soul life is in us, an anxious life. But the age we're living in is an anxious age. So, with an already an anxious heart, if we get sucked into this, to become like the Gentiles to this world, we will be sucked into the anxiety of this age. You know, everybody around you is driven by anxiety to achieve, to be a high achiever, to get their first $1 million by age, to accomplish that, to do that, and not only that, not only even just in the career side, but in the family side, we got to have so many kids, they have to be perfect kids, and everyone with them will be Ivy League bound, whatever. My son has to be the next Yo-Yo Ma, right? I'm obviously exaggerating here, but brothers and sisters, you get my point. This is the whole Gentile world, and we're living there, we're working there. And before you know it, we got swept along to live in that anxiety day and night. It occupies our head, it occupies our heart. Day and night, we're just driven by that. And just like the Gentiles, no wonder, you know, in the Lord's teaching, he keeps saying, all these things the Gentiles anxiously seek. The Gentiles seek these things, but don't you seek these things. Don't you become like them. Now, I have burden for working saints. That's why we're having this kind of fellowship. And I realize that the more I go on, it's one thing for me to just speak to you about the Lord's need, the Lord's burden, this and that. But I also realize there's some inherent problems and resistance and difficulties there that if we don't face that and confront that, then no matter what we say here, it won't work. Some people, some working saints in the morning, they have their morning revival in anxiety. You know that? They're really not with the Lord. They're opening the Holy Word or pray, read a verse or whatever they're doing. But inwardly, they are filled with anxiety for the day and that's why I say, they have multiple screens on their desktop. One screen is the Holy Word, then there's a screen on the news, and another screen with their job. And do you see what I'm saying, brothers? We get caught up in this life of anxiety, just driven and pushed along day in and day out. Mothers, they're continuously anxious over the children. They couldn't even have some really adequate private moments and meaningful quality time with the Lord to be in fellowship with Him, and so on and so forth. And so our Christian life is reduced. It is severely challenged and hindered. The church life, obviously. So, brothers and sisters, we have this. But we have to, by the Lord's word and by His grace, find a way to be relieved of it, to overcome it, to live not a Gentile life, but to live a Christian life, a God-man life. In other words, the teaching is we should not be like the heathens. We should be a different people. Now, I am not talking about, some people, they read this, they love to read this. Well, the Lord will feed the birds in heaven, the Lord will clothe the lilies in the field, don't be anxious. Oh, great, I love this. I'll just go home and read the Bible and life studies and do nothing. The Lord will take care of me. Well, brothers and sisters, obviously we're not talking about that. We need to be normal people, living a normal human life, with our normal human obligations. We need to be responsible. Paul taught, if you don't work, you shouldn't eat, right? So you all understand I'm not talking about that. I'm not using this as an excuse to be unproductive, to be lazy. Not at all. Not at all. Paul was anxious too. It says he was anxious over the churches. Paul was filled with anxiety over the churches. So Paul was not teaching this to give us a way out to be lazy and do nothing and just sit there for a handout. No, that's not it. But, as we take care of our human responsibilities, as we go to work, as we raise family, brothers and sisters, we should live differently. Altogether differently. Their standard is not ours. What drives them is not what drives us. What makes them anxious should not be what makes us anxious. We have another life. We have another life. Okay. All right. Now, I think even to talk about these matters, and even later on, one of the words, I do want to give a word even about riches, which is a big thing also that drives humanity and society. And what should our attitude be? How should we handle and deal with that? Okay. Some of these inherent, intrinsic, daily life matters are really, really faced, and by the Lord's grace and help, confronted and handled in a proper way, we will be a constant struggle and conflict. We cannot be free to follow the Lord Jesus and to be engaged in what He's doing on the earth and in the church life. This is fundamental. In that I'm going here and there. The word in 1 Peter 5 about, you know, don't be anxious, but cast your cares, right, on the Lord, on Him. That word cast, I think in the footnote, means a once and for all casting. The idea in Philippians about don't be anxious, but everything by prayer, by petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, that is a kind of a baggage by baggage casting. Prayer by prayer, instance by instance. But the casting in Peter is a once and for all lifetime casting. Brothers and sisters, we need both. We need both. We need to have a one-time casting of all our cares on the Lord, our whole life. Our whole life, Lord, it is yours. You own it. I have given myself to you. You are now responsible. I don't rely on myself. I rely on faith in you. You're being the faithful and providing God. I trust in you once and for all, my whole life. We need this. But we also need the day-to-day, what? Day-to-day discharging, relieving ourselves of the anxiety. And anxiety comes here, right away I cast it on the Lord. Another one comes, right away cast it on the Lord. On a daily, moment-by-moment way. Okay. All right, with that, let us just fellowship something. I'm not here again to give a message on anxiety. I want to make this applicable. I want to make this applicational. I hope that you will take this, and not just as a good word, but you will be before the Lord about it, and you will act on this word. You will heed the Lord's words and honor the Lord's teaching as kingdom people, and learn to live this life of faith and trust in the Lord, right? Because, brothers and sisters, we are for Him, and we're for His purpose. All right, so I come to Matthew chapter 6. Just quickly go through it. The Lord talked about not serving mammon and so forth, then He gets into this 10 verses or 9-10 verses, all on this subject of anxiety. Now here's the Lord in His speaking of the whole kingdom constitution and devoting much time to the living of the kingdom people. And He would give so many verses on this matter of how to not have anxiety and how to deal with material needs. This should catch our attention. This should catch our attention. He said, because of this, because of what He said before about putting treasure in heaven, of not putting treasures on the earth, of not loving mammon, the god of money, but to love God Himself. Because of this, He said, I say to you, don't be anxious for your life. I mentioned already, this life is the soul life. All right? We all have to identify. What is the source of anxiety? Is this life. Is our soul. Brothers and sisters, it's our soul. Not our spirit, but our soul. Which occupies a great part of our heart. So you can actually say your heart. So don't be anxious of your soul life. That means the soul, our soul, your and mine, is in a fallen man, is it in a constant state of of need, with desire, with appetite for material things. And I don't mean necessarily bad things, of course they are the bad things, but even of legitimate things, of for food, for clothing, for dwelling, for many things. To have that need, basic need in every human being, is not wrong. Man has that need. We all have that need to survive, just to live. But here is not about talking just about need, it's about an anxiety over that need. An anxiety, a nervousness, an unease, a disquiet. Over that need. A worry, I think that's the word. A worry. Constant worry over that need. It's not just about having it, it's worrying over it. Excessively. Constantly. That's anxiety. That's anxiety. Is that, don't be anxious over your life, what you should eat or drink, or your body, what you should put on, hence food and clothing or housing. Is not the life more than food and the body more than clothing? So the Lord is directing us. Yes, there's need for food, there is need for clothing, but put your attention not on those things, but put more of your attention on your life, on the real condition of your soul. And I would say even on the salvation of your soul. You know, the Lord says, if you lose your soul today, you will gain it, right? So it here is about, you worry about the gaining of your soul, more than just food, the body more than clothing. In other words, not just the clothing, but your condition, your being. That is more important because that is what counts in eternity. And that is what the Lord needs for His kingdom. You know, yeah, this is the Lord's word, but simple words. But brothers, it is good to reflect. It is good to just prioritize. What are we chasing here? Yeah? What are we day and night driven to do? Just to eat better food? Just to have better clothing? Just to worry about that? Or do we worry about the condition of our soul before the Lord? Right? How much has the Lord gained the soul? Our soul. How much is our soul truly preserved or saved? And so on, and so on. The long-term things, I would even say the eternal things, the substantial things, the crucial things, we lost the sense of priority. We chase these lesser things. Not evil, but they are certainly not the central things. Don't think I'm here lecturing you, brothers and sisters. I'll tell you today, there are people, a lot of stories about people who made it, made the buck, they arrived, they did it, and they are a mess. They feel just empty. They gained the world, but they lost their soul. They forgot the central thing. They don't know the answer to that. But not us. We shouldn't be this way. I'm sure we're not that way. But we get caught up. Every day is not a bad exercise in the morning or sometime. you just go off and be by yourself and say, what am I doing here? All those people in that building where I work are doing this, chasing this, those dreams. What am I doing? Lord, remind me. Lord, keep my eye on the ball. What am I here for? What about my soul? What is my body for if it's not presented to you to prove your perfect will? I am for you, Lord. I am for the church. I'm for those eternal things. I'm for my life to be gained by you. I'm for my whole being given to serve you and not mammon. See, I will tell you, it starts there. I do it. I cannot say I do it every day at the same time, but very often I just take a break, just kind of stop the merry-go-round. Let me get off for a moment, right? What am I here doing? Ask that question. Ask your heart that question. What did I give my life for? Who am I for? What am I living for? Very important. Working saying is very important. As you work, as you raise family, just take time and ask, what am I here for? What are these children for that I'm raising, sisters? For you to vicariously feel success because they make it to some Ivy League school? Or what? Or what? Very practical. What is my marriage for? Is it just like everyone else to have this great, great, wonderful marriage, perfect marriage, lovely marriage? We're not against that, brothers and sisters. But what's number one? What is my marriage for? What is your marriage for? Why did you get married? This job that I have, why am I doing this job? Or this business I have, why am I doing this business? I really mean it. When you lose that bearing, when that gets fuzzy, and I tell you, all manners of anxiety will take over. You just be like a Gentile. Look at the birds of heaven. I don't need to talk too much. We all know the Lord's parable. They don't sow, reap, gather in the barns, yet your Heavenly Father nourishes them. And are you not of more value than they? Very clear that don't worry about these our material life. We need to work. We need to do our duty. I said that already. Even the bird that the Heavenly Father takes care of have to go and find worms. Am I right? I mean, this is not to mean you sit there doing nothing. You do what you need to do, but in the end, it is the Father who nourishes those birds. In the same way, He will nourish us because we're much more valuable than they. Now, I like this, the Lord's word. Value, okay? We talk about value system, right? We have that word. Value system. What's valuable? We got to start there. When we touch the matter of anxiety, what's your value system? We should have a totally different value system as our peers in the world, as Christians. And for us, especially in the Lord's recovery, having seen so much, I mean, we are much more valuable than the birds, for sure, to the Lord, to the Lord. But it seems we don't value ourselves that way. The Lord, of course, the point here is the Lord will take care of us. The Lord will take care of us. You don't need to be anxious. Do your duty, but don't be anxious. Trust the Lord, the Heavenly Father, who will take care of us more than He will take care of the birds. See, even this little good word should bring us joy and strengthen our faith and make us happy and contented. Who among you, by being anxious, can add one cubit to his stature? If you look at the footnote there, his stature means the length of his life. You know, it's not how tall you are, but or how big you are, the length of your life. Who, by being anxious, can add another year to his life or two? Actually, today, anxiety is taking off lifespan. This is a fact. Many, many diseases are actually precipitated by anxiety, by nervousness, by stress that comes with it. You know, people even are anxious over what they eat, you know, the some of these female, they have this thing about not eating, right? They get thinner and thinner and thinner, and they look at the mirror, they still see themselves so fat, actually they are so thin, so they keep doing things to make them thinner and thinner, and some of them die. It's kind of like that. You have a warped view about yourself. You're warped. You don't see the real situation. And by being anxious in this way over so many things, can we live longer? We cannot. Now, I exercise. I think I tell you a lot. I exercise, especially at my age. You know, I want to live longer to serve the Lord. But even when I go exercise, some people, that exercise become another anxiety. You know, that exercise become their God, become another source of anxiety. Ooh, you know, they have to spend time to calculate calories and how much of this and how much to do. They spend all their time in the gym figuring things out. Trying to add another cubit to their stature. Brothers and sisters, we don't need to do that. You know, Brother Lee always taught us, and we got so much help, we have to discharge our human duties. We live a normal life. We're not angels. We need to go to work. We need to buy food. We need to cook. We need to eat. We need to be healthy. We need to exercise, sleep. We need to do all these things. We're human. But none of these things should become a source of anxiety to us if we trust the Lord. And so much time is lost and so much dollars are spent to add to our anxiety today. Everything is calling you. You need this kind of diet. You need that kind of program. You need this kind of therapy. You need all the things. Eventually, it's not to relieve anxiety, it's add anxiety. More and more anxiety. The best way to live, actually, dear saints, is to live simply. That is really the best way to live. And it's hard to learn to live this way, that way, because this society does not support that. This society says you need this, you need that. after you need this, then you need this, you know, Madison Avenue is doing a fantastic job. They put all these advertisements to tell you to stir up your anxiety and desire that you need that. And that's why you need to work harder so that you have more money so you can get that. And after that, another ad will tell you that's not good enough, you need something else. So the whole world spins and turns on all of this. It is feeding of our anxiety. We need to live a normal life, but we should not be caught in that current of anxiety or that riptide of anxiety. Why are you anxious concerning clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They do not toil, neither do they spin thread. But I tell you that not even Solomon in all his glory was clothed like one of these. I think we all know this. But we know it, but we don't quite live it. Well, here is really, you know, very much, without using the word, really a life of faith. A life of faith is not like George Mueller, he's called the Prince of Faith, who by faith raised up hundreds of orphanages. We all say ooh and ah, and we all look up to someone like him, if I can have that kind of faith. The Lord is not talking about that kind of faith here. The Lord is talking about just faith in him for our living, for our material needs, for our existence. Faith, that needs faith. Not just to build orphanages, but just to live free of anxiety requires faith, real faith in the providing God. And if God so arrays the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is cast into the furnace, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith, right? Here we go. It's a faith matter here. Anxiety, ultimately, to Christians, is a subject of faith. Well, brothers and sisters, let's be a generation, working saints, let's be a generation that live by faith. Live by faith is not just a domain of full-timers, you know, they need to live by faith. But for job doers, for job keepers, for working ones, for just to live, we need faith. Some people would not even go outside to the street because they're afraid a truck will hit them. Well, you need faith. You need faith in the Lord. He will clothe us. He will take care of us. May the Lord strengthen our faith and make us all a faith generation. Make us all, make you. Not just by word, but truly, Lord, I believe you. I trust in you. That you, I'm more valuable than all these things, that you will take care of me. This honors the Lord. And this saves us from anxiety. Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or with what shall we be clothed? You know, the word keeps saying, don't be anxious, don't be anxious, don't be anxious. The Lord Jesus said that. For all these things the Gentiles are anxiously seeking. I mentioned this already, the Gentiles. We are different. We must be different, saints. And don't afraid to be different. To not live like them. and be driven like them, the way they're driven. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. The Father knows we need before we even ask. The Lord really knows, brothers and sisters. He knows our need more than we know our need. Sometimes the environment doesn't look that way. It doesn't seem that way. The Lord may be putting us through a trial. You know, our faith, it says in the Bible, needs to be refined through fire, so it is approved. So sometimes the Lord put us through some trials, situation, to strengthen and refine our faith. That happens. And we all go through that. But the fact of the matter is, no matter what, God knows, the Lord knows what our need is in every situation. You get sick, for example. Even in sickness, you have to trust the Lord. We have to trust the Lord. We Christians should not be in a constant state of irritability, disquietude. Know that word, of kind of unsettled, just unease. That is not living Christ, for sure. That is living out anxiety. Verse 33, the Lord comes to a kind of conclusion. But, he has this big word, but. Don't be like the Gentiles, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. You saints, isn't this so sweet? Here is the Lord's gracious, the Lord's sweet and loving charge to us after all that speaking about the fact that he will take care of us. I'll take care of you, he said. You seek my kingdom. Don't worry about your life. Worry about my kingdom. Seek it. The kingdom is the church life realm. The church life today is the reality of the kingdom of the heavens. Seek first the church life. Seek first the kingdom and his righteousness. And all these will be added to you. Seek to live Christ. Seek to have the church life and all that it implies. All these things, all these necessary things in your life will be added to you. Okay, then he had one more word to conclude, verse 34. Therefore, he said again, I don't know if this is the third, fourth time he said it, do not be anxious for tomorrow. Tomorrow. For tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own evil. You know, some people, they just constantly live in tomorrow. Today is good enough. We have a word, don't live in the past. Don't live in the future. Live today. Christ is now. People who are anxious for tomorrow are people who are full of imaginations. And imaginations always trigger anxiety, even panic. Don't. I wouldn't say, like the world says, live for the moment. I wouldn't say it in that way. But the Lord's word, just take care of the day. this day, take care of seeking Christ today. Take care of the church life today. Take care of the Lord's need today. Right? And don't be anxious for tomorrow. When tomorrow comes, you'll be there. Okay, now I just want to go to the sister verse passage and then I'm done. Again, I hope that you all are receiving some help by this. I am, myself, by the Lord's words. Okay, it is in Luke 12, 22 through 31, basically saying the same thing. You know, he said, don't store up treasure for yourself. You have to be rich towards God. Then he turned around to the disciples to talk about the anxiety of life. See, these two things are conjoined. So I don't need to talk about it. It's basically the same thing. At the end of this passage, he said, don't be afraid of the flock because your Father has been well pleased to give you the kingdom. So today, many things, because we're living the Christian life, we are standing for the Lord's testimony, so we are the minority, and we don't have the kind of freedom like so many people do. We are restricted in the way we live, the things we get into. And so as a result, we may suffer, have some kind of suffering, limitation, things that your colleague can do to advance his career, to advance his position, you cannot do because you're a Christian. You understand what I mean? Because of the Christian testimony, we just cannot do so many things. And then you see them go on and advance, and you're still kind of stuck here. I'm just using an example. Even all these things can give us anxiety. We, brothers and sisters, should just seek the Lord's kingdom. And the Lord is well pleased to give us his kingdom. Next time I may get into the matter of riches, about giving. You know, the matter of riches is not just about not be deceived by riches and be covetous to make more money, to have more money, but it is also about the other side, about giving of riches, of material riches to the Lord and his interest. That, let me tell you, is a test on our heart, a test on whether we are living an anxious life or we are living a trusting life. Every time you give, you just do the math in your head. Oops, I'm $500 poorer now. These $500 I could have used for this or that or so forth. There's an anxious moment there, right? So all these things come into play. Well, let me just conclude here, saints.
Okay.
My main point, I suppose, from the Lord speaking here, is really two. Number one, what are we aiming at? What is our goal? What is our life for? What is our value? What is our purpose? this is something we need to constantly, in my experience, not once every so often, constantly, daily, I have to tune up, I have to recalibrate, I have to tell myself, repeat to myself, to affirm that I'm living, unlike the Gentiles, I'm living for the Lord. When you have that kind of decision made, everything else fall into place. When that decision is wavering, then all kinds of things will come in to knock you off, to shake you up. And of course, the second thing is about having faith in the Lord. This is not a small thing. I know we don't talk about this a lot in the church life, but this matter of living by faith, trusting the Lord. I work, but I still trust the Lord for that paycheck. I still trust the Lord to meet all of my needs and my family's needs and my children's needs. Can we not trust the Lord? The Lord's conclusion, my conclusion, is still this word. This being the case, let us be free. Let us be unoccupied. Let us be saved from anxiety about so many things. Let us be unfettered to pursue the Lord, to seek the kingdom, and his righteousness, right? Now, I still have to say a couple of words at least about GDCA, you know, otherwise I'm not doing my job. So this thing called GDCA is coming, gospelizing, truthizing and churchizing America. It is not a movement. It is not some campaign. It is a burden. Just expressed through those acronyms. And so you all know that, you should know, that next year, 2018, is a GDCA year for the entire Bay Area or Northern California. Not that we have never preached the gospel, not that we have not done anything, but we have burden from the Lord. We believe this is of Him, that all the churches as one man, in the whole Northern California would have a special consecration to the Lord to spread the word, to speak the word, to let the word run all over. So in the past, we have only one city or two cities selected, and we'll just kind of bombard or labor on those one or two cities, but next year it won't be. It will be all the cities where the churches are, that means your own city, plus your neighboring cities and other cities elsewhere in this whole region. We will start with 2 years. We have started actually on 100 days of prayer. I think the brother should, after I'm done, should make sure all the saints should know the website, to go there to find the daily prayer for the Lord's move. Dear saints, this is not a small thing. I just ask you all, working saints, you are a vital, vital part of this. Working brothers, mothers, everyone, let's put our heart to this. Let's pray for this until this will go all the way to the end of January. And at that time, and right now, many brothers are putting things together logistically, where to go. We'll work closely with Bibles for America. This is really still the best way in our experience to get the word out in a kind of a seed sowing way, in a indiscriminate way, in a free way, to all the people in Northern California. Many are seekers, and many are marked out by the Lord, really. On campus, in community, in your workplace, how about start praying for Google, start praying for Apple, start praying for LinkedIn, start praying for Tesla, start working, praying for where you are. There are seekers buried in these organizations. Don't think millennials cannot be saved. Don't think so. You are absolutely wrong. Many, many seekers there waiting for the Word of God. So the track, the cards, whatever the brothers will do in different regions, there will be six sub-regions in the whole area. That would be Northern region, and then the Sacramento region, and then the South Bay region, and then the Northeast Bay region, and then the Eastern region of the Bay, and then you have the Central Coast region, and then you also have the from Merced to Bakersfield, that Central California region. All this, we will all pray, all move as one man to sound out the Lord's word, which is a great, great thing. The same as they did in Germany for those 2 weeks last month. The same as they did. We're doing the same thing. And people here are not less seeking than the Germans. You go to Germany, you will realize it's not that easy, those people. So this is our commission from the Lord as the church, and this is a way we can do something unto him and for his interest. And I call upon all of you working saints to rise up and be part of it. Some of you brothers can take a few days off to just immerse yourself in this. This would be very good for you to just get out of your job and do this. Some can even take a week off and get on a BFA bus to go around to some cities. Some of us can use those 2 weeks to visit people. We will have, I was told, we asked FTTA for 15 teams of trainees. This is unheard of. That means there will be 150 trainees running around in those 2 weeks next year in February, helping us to sow the seeds and contact people. Out of all of this, no doubt there will be many responders and seeking ones and open ones, then we will visit them and shepherd them and bring them to the Lord and help them to know the truth, which is the desire of the Savior God, and also to eventually bring them into the church life by our small groups, by whatever. So I like to just end this way, brothers. I like, if possible, for this remainder of this 100 days of prayer, you would arrange something with two people or three people as a small little praying unit, just like last year and the year before, to pray earnestly. Every prayer will count. You may say, this little prayer doesn't count with the two of us. I tell you, there are many, many twos and threes praying all over Northern California. The Lord will hear those prayers. The Lord will hear those prayers. Have faith. Have faith. This is a great, great thing. So I hope you would prepare yourselves and give yourself to this. Okay, I think I'm done here. I don't want to take too long of your time. Brothers, is that okay? Brian, you're there in San Jose, Shuming in San Francisco, and I don't know who's in Berkeley. Can we stop here or what should we do? I'm done. Is it okay? All right. Maybe you can, in your respective places, have some prayer and maybe some fellowship, and let's leave that to you. Do bring this to the Lord, okay? Amen.